Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanihim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Chaf Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Yafa Bat Shula, Sara Bat Shula, Shlomo Ben Shula, and Yosef Ben Shula by their parents. Hashem bless them with good luck and good health always. Today's daf has been studied the Ilu Nishmat Hadas Bat Yehudit Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden, and the Ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on the top of the daf, first line, Tanu Rabbanan Kol Elu She'amru En Maddikin Ba'en B'Shabbat. All the wicks that we learned in our Mishnah that we said that they are Pasul for Shabbat, Aval Osin Mehen Medura, but one is allowed to make a fire, like in a fireplace, a large fire, Ben Litchamem Kenegda, whether you want to heat yourself by that fire, Ben Lishtamesh Leora, or to use it, Ben Algab Karka, whether it's on the ground, Ben Algabe Kira, or if it's in the oven. The Gaon Mevilna takes out the word Kira, and he has it, or Ben Algabe Menorah, or whether it's in a candelabra. Velo asru ela la'asot mehem petila lener bilvad. The only time that the Mishnah said that these wicks are pasul is only when you're putting them in an individual cup to use them as a ner. Then the suspicion is they're not going to catch properly, and then one is going to come to make hataya, is going to come to flicker them. However, when it comes to a large fire where you're putting these wicks in the Midorah, that she says, Hesek Gadol, a big fire, Shehad Mavir Havero. What happens is one lights the other, and therefore we're not concerned about it, let's say, flickering, and therefore it would be permissible no matter where it is, whether it's on the ground or whether you have it in another candelabra itself, it would be permissible. So again, the restrictions of our Mishnah was only on an individual ner, not on a menorah. Comes the Gemara, continues, Velo b'shemen kik. One of the fuels that we said is pasul is shemen kik. So the Gemara wants to know, Mai shemen kik. What is shemen kik? What is this type of oil? Amar Shmuel, Sha'altinu lechol nachutei yama. Says, I asked all the sea people on the sea, the sailors on the waters, the amnuli, and they told me, Of echad yesh bekarche hayam. There's a certain bird that's found on the islands, the kik shemo, and the name of the bird is the kik. And then she says that shemen shel of echad. Notnim bener vedolek. They extract the oil from this bird, and they use it to light as a fuel. Rav Yitzchak bered Rav Yehuda amar mishcha de ka'aza, oil of the ka'aza. That she says shemen she'osin. It's oil that they produce megarine semer gefen, from the pits of the cotton, shekorin cotton, which would translate cotton seed oil. That would be, according to the Gemara, pasul for Nerot. Although Hakam ben Sion Abbas Sheol has a teshuvah and says that was talking about their cotton seed oil that wasn't refined and wasn't pure and therefore did not have a good draw. But he says today our cotton seed oil would be kasher for the lighting of the Nerot. It should be pointed out that the Rosh has a shita that when it says over here, Shemen Kik,
it's referring to the from the Yerushalmi actually, that it's the bird that's called the Ka'at, that's mentioned in the Torah. Now, the reason why that's an interesting shita, it's, the bird is called the Ka'at, and the oil comes from that bird. It's only interesting because that bird is a Tameh bird. So, we're going to learn later on that the oils that are Pasul for Shabbat are Kasher for Hanukkah lighting. So it comes out, according to the Yerushalmi, that they're allowing you to light the menorah with shemen that is really from something that is Tameh. Even though we have Kimariot that talk about when a person is writing Tefillin and Mezuzot, the parchment must come from something that is Tahor. Like the rabbi said, "Lo hukshiru lemnechet shamayim ela min amutar beficha," only on something that is permissible to eat. So we have to say that this only applies to Tefillin and Mezuzot, but not to other mitzvot. That's the Maharitz Chiyut brings down. So now we have already Shemen Kik is a bird. Either it's called the Kik bird, or it's called the Ka'at, according to the Yerushalmi, or it's cottonseed oil, according to Rashi. The Shtakish Amar, Shtakish has a different understanding. He says it's Kikayon de Yonah. It's the Kikayon of Yonah. In the story of Yonah, we learned that it was a sunny day, it was very hot, and Yonah went and sat under the shade of a certain tree. And that tree was called a certain plant. And that plant was called a kikayon. So from the seeds of that plant, they would crush and get oil. So that's where the Shemen Kik is. Kik melashon kikayon. So again, the Shakishwar kikayon de Yonah. Amar Rabbah Bar Bar Hanna Lididi Hazili Kikayon de Yonah. He says, I saw the Kikayon of Yonah, not the actual Kikayon that he sat under, but he saw something that was similar to the Kikayon of Yonah. And he says, Vinitsluliba Dameh. It's similar to a plant that's called the Tsluliba plant. And it grows on the by the water, by the as she says, bibitz ehamayim, by the marshes where the water is. The alfum hanuta midlan yate, and it is hung over the stores on the front of the stores. Midlan yate does it hang in order to give a shade. There's very, very wide leaves that it has, this plant. Therefore, they put it in front of their stores in order to give some shade, as she says. And it also has a fragrant. And from its pits, from its seeds, they make oil. That would be the Shemen Kik. And under its wide leaves, Naihin Kol Birihe de Maraba, rests all the sick people from the west, which means people that were sick, they would lie under this tree in order to, you know, revive themselves and get a refuah. So he's giving you some Rabba Baruchana, some of the qualities of the Kikayon of Yonah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabba, Rabba taught, Betilot she'amru chachamim, en madlikim bahem b'shabbat. The wicks that the rabbi said in the Mishnah that we're not allowed to use, mepenei she'aor mesachsechet bahem. What is mesachsechet? As she says, he says kemin sakin peguma. It's like the word mesachsech is like a knife that is pagum, that has ridges, it has a nick in the knife. Now, what did that mean by a ner? Misachzek the basar she'en oros zakuf v'nochob b'mkom echad, which means the light does not rest on one part of the wick, but it's like a knife that it skips, which means it has like a ridge where the candle, the light, just keeps on flickering up and down. It does not catch fully on the wick itself, as she says, Ela nida'ach, it goes down, the kofes, and then it jumps. So that's what Mesachsech. Then he brings Lishna Harina, ומסכסכת בהן אינה נכנסת תוך הפטירה. It does not enter the wick itself, אלא סביב מבחוץ. The fire or the flame only surrounds the wick, but doesn't penetrate the wick. ולשון סכסוך אבנים, which is when they say about rocks that are burning. The rock doesn't penetrate, the fire doesn't penetrate the rock. The rock just burns on the outside. So they're saying also, these type of wicks, the fire doesn't go inside the wick, it just, it burns on the exterior. That's the reason why these wicks are not kasher. Shemanim, the oils, she'amru hachamim en madikim bahem, mepeneh she'en nimshachim ahar apetila, which means what? They don't draw the oil doesn't draw to the wick, and therefore the concern is one is going to be mateh, he's going to tilt and shake the cup in order to get the oil to draw, and that's going to be isur on Shabbat. So again, we have the two reasons now of the Mishnah: the petilot apasul, because it doesn't give a good light, misachsechet, and the shemen because it's not nimshach, does not draw after the petila. Comes Gemara and says, "Bara mine Abaye merabba." Abaye had a question to Rabba. Shemanim she'amnu hachamim en madlikim behem b'Shabbat. These oils that we said that are pasul to use on Shabbat, ma'u shi'iten letochan shemen kolshehu v'yadlik. Is it permissible to add some kosher oil into the mix with the pasul oil and then light it? Now, how would that help? So that she says, shemen anitan betochom mamshicho lachar apetila. Once you put the good oil will cause the bad oil to draw. So therefore, does that kosher up? Maybe when we said the pasul oils in the Mishnah, it's only when you're using them alone. But if you mix them with kasher oil, maybe we'll say now it causes it to draw nicely, and it should be kasher. Mi gazrinan. Actually, Gemara's question is, do we make a gezerah and say, Dilma atel adluke be'inayu, that if we allow you to come and use it in its mixture, you might come to use it alone. And we know you can't use the shemen pasul alone. Do we make a gezerah? Or no? Or don't we make a gezerah? That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, Amar le en madlikin. So the answer he told him was, you can't do it. En madlikin. You cannot mix kosher oil with the pasul oil. So the Gemara says, my tama, what's the reason? So he says, lefi she'en madlikin. Now what does this mean, the answer? He asked him, you can't do it. Why? Because you can't do it. So that she explains, lefi she'en madlikin be'ainayhu ve'gazlinan ha'atuha. The way that she learns is that the whole reason why it's asur is not because it's not functional. Actually, it'll work. If you put the pasul oil in the kasher oil, it'll draw nicely. But the gezerah is lefi she'en madlikin when the oil is pasul and you're doing it alone. So since we don't want you to come to do it alone, we don't allow you to even do it al yedeh, a mixture, which means it's a gezerah. So the Gemara's language would be, what's the reason, when he answered him, what he told him, I'm going to end madlikin. He told him you can't do it. So he said, what's the reason? Lefi she'en madlikin if they're alone. And since we don't want you to be madlik if the shemen pasul is alone, we're gozer, not to do it even al yedeh ta'arovet, even through a mixture. So that's the double language. En madlikin was the answer to his question. You can't en madlikin al yedeh ta'arovet when you mix them. My tama, lefi she'en madlikin when they're alone. And therefore we made a gezerah that you might come to ha atuha, that you might come to do this, atu this. So the Gemara's really answer is you can't mix the oil. Comes the Gemara and says, etibe, we have a question. What's the question? Gemara says, "Karach davar shemadlikim bo, al gav davar she'en madlikim bo, en madlikim bo." Let's say you take a kosher wick, davar shemadlikim bo, and you karach, you wrap it around an item that is not kasher for a wick. So here you have kasher and pasul. You have a kosher wick on the outside, and it's wrapped around a wick that is pasul, and you're lighting them. And what is the deen? En madlikim bo. That's the opinion of Tana Kamma. So from Tana Kamma, at least you see, the mixture of kasher and pasul is not kasher. However, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel, actually Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shel Bet Abba, he says in my father's house, Hayu Korchin Petila Al Gabe Egoz. They used to take a wick and wrap it around a walnut, Umadlikin, and they used to light them. Now again, the wick was kasher, a walnut obviously is not kasher for a petila. And in the house of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, they used to use it. They used to do it. Katane mihat. The Gemara says, we have a quotation from the Braita, Madlikin. That's where our question is. Our question is from Rabban Shimon Gamliel. He said that in his father's house, they would light a mixture of kasher wick with pasul wick. So that's a question on the oil case. By the oil case, we said, you cannot make a mixture. But by the wick case, we said, you can. At least according to the Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le, ademotafti mid Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Instead of asking me a question from Rabban Shimon Gamliel that said it's kasher, sayinu mid Tana Kamma. Bring a proof from Tana Kamma that it's pasul. We had two shitot in the Braita. One shita was Tana Kamma that said, if you mix a kasher wick over a pasul wick, it's pasul. So that's a proof to the case of the oil. So why are you bringing me a ra'aya, a question from Rabban Shimon Gamliel? Bring me a proof from Tana Kamma. So the Gemara says, halakasha. That's not a question. Why? Ma'aseh Rav. Because we have a rule. Whenever there's a halakha by one opinion, and the other opinion argues and brings a story to prove, meaning what type of story, that it was done, that it was actually practiced, so the maaseh has strong weight. Therefore, in this bright over here, we're not only bringing Rabban Shimon Gamliel's opinion, we're saying in his father's house they used to do it. They used to take the wick and put it over the walnut and light it. That's already maaseh rav. There's a story there. They did it. So therefore that shita is the halakha. And therefore we're asking from the wick case to the oil case. Why did you tell me you can't mix oils? But we see you can mix wicks. And don't tell me Tana Kamma. I'm bringing you a question from Rashbag, because we see they did it. Maaseh rav. So the Gemara says, Mikol makom kasha. How can we have a question? So comes the Gemara and says, my love, ladlik. Ah, you thought that when it says they used to use the wick over the walnut, you thought that it's talking about they were doing it to light? No. Lo lehakpot. They were using the walnut as a floater, which means in order to float it on the oil. And therefore, according to Rashi, it's mashma, and I'll quote you Rashi, where he says, my love ladlik, do you think that it's talking about where they lit it? Hayu korchin shetadlika petila ima egoz? You think they want to light the egoz itself? No. Lo lakpot. Lo hayu madlikin egoz. They didn't light the egoz. Ela somech alea petila latzifa. They would just put the petila on it in order to float it shelotet ba'ba shemen. So therefore, it sounds like according to Rashi, at least the way the Bet HaLevi understands it, that when it says lakpot, it means they weren't putting the egoz there to use it as light, to light from it, and they didn't light it. Which is all they did was, is light the wick itself, and they positioned the egoz in such a way where it just caused the wick that was lit to float. So you have no proof of that they were using kasher and pasul. They were really only using kasher. Ah, but there was egoz there. The egoz wasn't lit. The egoz was just used as a floater. According to the Rif, as he brings down, that even if the egoz was lit, but he says they stuck it under the wick in order to enhance the light of the kasher wick. Which means like to, let's say, stretch it and to make it wider, to make an enhancement. Even if the egos, let's say, caught fire, the default doesn't matter. The point was, it was not to light the wick. The kavanah was not to light the egos. The kavanah was to enhance the wick itself. So therefore, you have no proof from the case of the pasul oil with the kashir, where it's definitely mixed together, where you're using them both as fuel to light. So therefore, you have no question from the case of the petilot to the case of the shemen. So the Gemara says, wait, ilak pot, if you're telling me the case is talking about where they use the egos as a floater, my ta'ama de tanakama. So then why would tanakama say it's pasul? You're not using the pasul wick for lighting. Your kavanah is to float. Why did Tanakama say it's no good? So the Gemara says, no. Kula Rabban Shimon Gamlielhi. The whole Braita is really one opinion. It's Rashbag. The Hasurim Mi'asira V'Achi Ketani. And the Braita is missing some words. And this is the way you're supposed to read it. Karach davar shemadlikim bo al gabe davar she'en madlikim bo. If you wrapped a kasher wick over a pasul wick, en madlikim bo. You cannot madlik. When is that talking? Only well, when your kavanah is to light the egos. Aval lehakpot, but to float, mutar. Why? Shelaban Shemom Gamliel Omer, because Aban Shemom Gamliel taught Shelbet Aban, his father's house, so you korchin petira al gav egos, that they used to actually do it al gav egos, and their intent was to float. So therefore, there's no opinion that really says it's asur. It's all Aban Shemom Gamliel. If you're doing it that leak, it would be pasul. If you're doing it like port, it would be kasher. Comes the Gemara says, "Ini, we have a contradiction." The Amar Rav Bruna. We have a statement from Rav Bruna. What did he say? Amar Rav, in the name of Rav. Chelev mehutach. Chelev mehutach would be fat that was melted, which means the fat sometimes is congealed. Here they took the chelev and they matech it. They softened it up until it became, let's say, like liquid. Mehutach, it was melted. The kirbeh dagim, or the inside of the fish, Shini mohu, they took the innards of a fish and they also melted it. Shini mohu, Adam noten netoko shemen kolshu. A person is able to place some kosher oil in the mixture. Umadlik. So you see, it seems that this chelev meutach and kirbeh dagim is really not kasher, but we're allowing you to put kosher oil in the mixture in order to kosher it. So this is a direct question on what we learned above that said that you cannot kosher up pasul oil with kasher oil. Here it seems that the kirbeh dagim and the chelev meutach was not kasher, but by putting some kosher oil in it, it makes it okay. So the Gemara says, now there's a big difference. Haneh mimshekhe be'enayu. Chelev meutach and kirbeh dagim actually are kasher. Why? Because they have a good draw. So if they have a good draw, so what are you even playing with it? Again, what I will say. V'hane lo mimshekhe be'enayu. However, the cases that we were talking about in the Mishnah do not have a good draw. So what's the difference? V'gazu rabbanan al chelev meutach mishum chelev she'eno meutach. But the rabbis did not allow you to use fat that was melted because they didn't want you to come to use the chelev that was not melted. That one is really pasul. V'al kirbeh dagim shenimochu, which is really kasher, mishum kirbeh dagim shelo nimochu. They made a gezerah that you might come to use kirbeh dagim shelo nimochu that was not melted. So the Gemara says, "V'ligzor name chelev meutach v'kirbeh dagim shenimochu, shenatan letochan shemen, mishum chelev meutach v'kirbeh dagim shenimochu, shelo natan letochan shemen." So why do you make now another gezera and say, "Well, we have chelev meutach. Chelev meutach really should be kasher, but we will go say chelev meutach because you might come to use chelev she'enu meutach." So the Gemara says, "Fine. Now that you added oil into the chelev meutach, why don't you come along and say, Gezerah,
that you might come to use the chalev meutach without the kosher oil. So the Gemara says, wait. Gemara says, ha gufa gezera. How many gezerot do you want to make here? It would be a gezerah to gezerah. Meaning, let's review. The chalev meutach really is kasher min adin. It draws nicely. So why can't you use it? Gezerah that you might come to use chalev she'enu meutach. That's one gezerah. So now you want to come along and make a second gezerah? And say, if I put kasher oil in it, gezerah that I might not put the oil. And if I don't put the oil, gezerah that I might come to use chalev she'enu meutach. That's why two gezerot. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, since the chalev meutach really draws nicely, there's no reason why it should be posel to put kosher oil in there. Because now already, I have two reasons to be makshir. Number one, it's only asur when it was alone. Now what? When I put the chalev, the shemen in it, that's kasher. That's the good draw, that's kasher 100%. So now already, it turns this chalev meutach into 100% kasher. Because what do you want to tell me? No, but I might come not to put oil in it. Yeah, and if you don't put oil in it, it's still a gezerah, because it's chalev she'enu meutach atu, chalev meutach atu enu meutach. So if it's gezerah, the gezerah. But in our case, for example, let's say you took shemen kik, which is pasul. It's pasul on its own. It's not pasul mishum gezerah. It's pasul because it's not a good draw. Adding the kosher oil in it, we're going to say asur. Why gezerah? You might confuse it alone. That's one gezerah. So therefore, the maaseh, the gemara, makes a difference between the pisulim shemanim of our Mishnah and the shemen chalev meutach and kirbeh dagin, that is really kasher on its own, just that we would gozer it, that you might come to use these things in a pasul way. But if you add oil that's kasher to them, those items will be kasher because they really draw nicely. And by saying it's going to be asur atu, we make it a gezerah. The gezerah, we don't gozer to gezerot. Comes Gemara and continues. Tani Rameh Barhamma Petilot Ushmanim Sha'amnu Chachamim En Madlikim Bahem B'Shabbat. Again, the wicks and the oils that we said you cannot use them on Shabbat. En Madlikim Bahem B'Migdash. You cannot use them either in the Bet HaMikdash to light the menorah. Mishum Shne'emar Leha'alot Ner Tamid. The pasuk by the menorah says that you must not only light the Ner Tamid, but la'alot, you must cause it to rise. So it says, what is this light Tamid here? Hu tani la, he stated it, vehu amar la, and he also explained to me. Rabbi Bar Hama also explained the statement, that what? Kedeh sheteh shalhevet ola me'eleha. So you have to light the menorah in a type of way where the flame will rise on its own, which ve'lo sheteh ola al yedeh davar acher, and not that it rises through the aid of something else, which means la'alot, if you're going to use inferior wicks, so then it's going to need tinkering, it's going to need playing, and therefore that's not considered a flame that rises on its own. So therefore, from the fact that it says la'alot, we learn that you must use only the kasher wicks. And whatever is pasul for Shabbat would be pasul for the menorah. Now, even though the statement says petirot ushmanim she'amru, the oils as well. Well, the oils, I think it's obvious because the Torah clearly says you're only allowed to use shemen zayit zach. We don't need a braita to tell me something that is explicit in the Torah. Actually, if you look at the text of Rabbeinu Hananel, he takes out the word shemen in the braita. In his text it just says petilot she'amru, because there it's not explicit in the Torah. It just says la'alot ner tamid. So Rami bar Hamas chedush is, you know what la'alot means? That it's got to be a type of flame that rises on its own. Oh, that's a chedush. Therefore, you tell me that the wicks of the Mishnah would be pasul because they don't rise on their own. They need tinkering with. So comes the Gemara and says, Tenan, we learned in the Mishnah in Sukkah, Mebelae mechnese kohanim, from the worn out pants of the kohanim, umehem nehem, and from their worn out belts,
Hayu mafki'in, they would tear them. Umehen madlikin, and they would use the cloth from these garments of the Kohen, and they would light the menorah. So what's the problem if you're lighting the menorah with these things? Why does this pose a question? So that she says, Umehem nehen, dibura matrim mehem nehen, vekaimalan amra techelet amrahu, vetani le'el le'anyan shabbat, hosifu alehem shel semer lefsol. Which means, the belt of the Kohen had in it wool. And we learned above that wool was one of the pasul wicks for Shabbat. We learned hosifu alehem. The Braita added wool, even though the Mishnah didn't discuss wool, but we added wool. So therefore, we see that in the Beit HaMikdash, they used wool, meaning from the belt of the Kohen, to make wicks. So I have a question. So the Gemara says, no, simcha bet ha-shoeva shani. They didn't use it to light the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, but they used it at the Simcha Beit HaShoeva celebrations. On Sukkot, they used to have celebrations in Jerusalem when they used to draw the water that was poured on the Mizbeah on Sukkot. So it says they needed light outside. It was at the parties at night. So what did they do? They took big candelabras and they lit them with the old clothes of the Kohanim. Even though they were pasul, meaning they had semen in them, big deal. It wasn't for the menorah. That which we said, it's pasul is only when you're doing the ha'alot ner tamid. Ner tamid is a menorah. So don't bring me a question from how they lit the simcha bet ha-shoeva. So Gemara says, Tashema, detani rabba bar matna. Bigdei kehuna shebalu, the clothes of the Kohanim that wore out, mafki'in otan, we raped them, umehen ayu osin petilot lamikdash. Oh, now already we have a strong question. Clearly it says they used the old clothes of the Kohanim, what? To make wicks for the mikdash. Now, mikdash means, for the Beit HaMikdash, meaning for the menorah. You can't answer me now, simcha bet ha-shoeva. Because now the writer clearly says la mikdash. So how are you going to answer that? So Gemara says, my love the kelayim. And it sounds like they used the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen that had kelayim, meaning it had both wool in them. Gemara says, la, the boots. We're talking about, they only used the garments of the Kohen that had linen. I mean, they only used the flax. And therefore, pishtan is kasher for a wick. So therefore, even the Braita that said they used the old clothes of the Kohanim in the Mikdash, they only used the clothes that have linen. And therefore, they did not use the clothes that have wool in them. And the Braita above that says that even if they used the wool, we'll say that was for Simcha Bet HaShoeva. But for the menorah itself, no. Comes the Tosafot. There's a few Tosafotim over here. First of all, above when we said kirbe dagim, when we said the fish innards are pasul, gezerah that you might come to use kirbe dagim that are not mehutach or not nimawah, Tosfot just points out that don't confuse kirbe dagim with shemen dagim. Later on we're going to learn in the Mishnah that shemen dagim is kasher for the menorah. So Tosfot tells us shemen dagim is one item, and kirbe dagim is another item. Shemen dagim is kasher, and kirbe dagim is pasul. Next Tosfot, Simcha bet ha-shoeva, shani. So the Tosfot has some very, very interesting questions. His first question is, so you tell me they used to take the clothes of the Kohen, make wicks out of them, and use them for Simcha bet ha-shoeva. So Tosfot says, what do you mean? We learned that the clothes of the Kohanim are Kodesh, even after he finishes using them. And if anybody uses them for personal usage, it's considered mi'ilah, which means considered you're stealing from Kodesh. So how could they use the clothes of the Kohen that worn out to illuminate the streets of Jerusalem? It seems that's a personal use. Simcha bet ha-shoeva. It's not like they used it to light the menorah, which is a mitzvah technically. Simcha bet ha-shoeva. That should be subject to the laws of mi'ilah. You're using it. So Tosfot says now, since the whole purpose of the Simcha bet ha-shoeva was a pie that they made for the water that they ended up pouring on the Mizbeah. So therefore, that's considered Tzorech Korban. And therefore, that lighting the light for the party, for the water, for the tzorek korban, is not considered me'ila. Then he comes along and says another answer, that really when it comes to the light of the Simcha Bet HaShoeva, we have a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, by the light of the Simcha Bet HaShoeva, Boreret Isha Chaitin. A lady was able to select her wheat, which means she was, let's say, standing on a balcony, and she was able to use the light that was coming out of the Simcha Bet HaShoeva to clean her rice, or to clean the wheat. The Gemara was trying to show how bright it was at the Simcha Bet HaShoeva. So the question then is, what do you mean? She's using it for personal use. She says, you want to tell me that why you can use it for the party? Because the party is celebrating the war that was put on the Mizbeah, that's considered to the Qurban. But how do you explain the Gemara and Sukkah that says the ladies used to use the light in order to clean their wheat? That's using the light that's made from the clothes of the Kohen for personal usage. So Tosfot answers, Lo shaita boreret, shaita yichola lebror. So one answer is not that they actually used it, but they were just trying to say that they could have used it. It was that light, so bright they could have used, but they didn't, because it would have been me'ilah. Then Tosfot says, "Umiyu bi'ushami dayik me'aga dekol umar'e v'reyach en behem mishum me'ilah." And then he brings it to Ushami and gives the much more clear answer, which is, me'ilah is not by benefiting from the light of it. That's not considered usage of it. She's me'ilah would be if you took the clothes of the Kohen Gadol or Kohen and wore them, or use them actually, but to benefit from the light does not be, benefiting from light is not considered a hana'ah. Therefore, the fact that they use it in the Simcha Bet HaShoeva, or the fact that the lady actually checked her wheat by the light, that's not considered usage. Now, Tosfot has one more point. Tosfot says, and I'll read it inside, V'kasher l'ri, mai parich memichnesei ha-kohanim. Gemara is asking from the question of the pants of the Kohen. Halo ayu ben pishtan. The clothes of the Kohanim also had in them flax. Dichtiv techelet vargamam v'tulah al-chni v'shesh mozar. V'tov lepetira davi kechrach davar shemadikim bo, al-gav davar she'em madikim bo. Which means, if you tell me use the pants of the Kohen, the pants had kasher wick and pasul wick in it. The pasul part of the pants was the tzemer. The kasher part was the flax. Oh, so wait. You have kasher wick with pasul wick. Now, we just learned that for Shabbat, that's pasul. Okay, why is it pasul for Shabbat? Because we made a gezerah that you might come to use the pasul wick alone. Fine, but in the Beit HaMikdash, we have a rule. There's no gezerot in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, you're able to follow the law. Kohanim Azariz, we don't suspect that if you let them do this, they might come to do that. So therefore, Od Pam, when did we say mixing wicks is pasul? For Shabbat, in a guy's house. You cannot take a kasher wick, put it on a pasul wick. What was the gezerah? The vishen matlikin. Because you might come to use the pasul wick alone, just like we said by the oil. Yes? That's in a private house. But in the Beit HaMikdash, we don't make gezerot de rabbanan. Therefore, what should be the problem of using the pants of the Kohen Gadol for the lighting of the menorah? Bottom line, there's kasher wick in there, there's the linen in there. I have some tzemer in there, big deal. The linen should make it kasher. It's like taking a kasher wick, putting over a pasul wick, where we said, and Shabbat is pasul, but that should be kasher. Just for answers, a very important klal. Since the majority of the garment was wool, so it's considered wool. Yes, there was some linen in it, but that's not considered using kasher and pasul. It goes after the rov. And therefore, even in the Beit HaMikdash, to use the pants of the Kohen that wore out would be pasul for the menorah. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Ravuna. Avunah taught, Petilot Ushmanim She'amru Hakamim En Madlikin Bahem B'Shabbat. Avunah says, the Petilot and the Shemanim, the wicks and the oils that we said, you cannot use on Shabbat, En Madlikin Bahem B'Hanukkah. You cannot use them on Hanukkah as well. Now we turn into the Hanukkah laws. Hanukkah, we light Nerot. Whatever is Pasul on Shabbat, he says, is Pasul on Hanukkah. Ben B'Shabbat, Ben B'Hol. whether it's the Shabbat of Hanukkah or the weekdays of Hanukkah. Amar Rava, Rava says, my Tamad Rav Huna. What's the reason of Rav Huna? What's his logic? Kasabar, number one he holds, Kafta Zakukla. Kafta Zakukla means, if the Ner went out, Kafta, if it extinguished, Zakukla, you have to relight it. So what does that mean? So that she explains. Since he holds that after you lit it, if it didn't last the proper amount of time, and it went out within its time, you have to relight it, he doesn't want you to use these inferior wicks and oils. Why? Because we're worried it might go out, and you might not relight it. And therefore, by using these wicks over, you're putting yourself in a problem. Since he holds kafta zakukla, if it goes out, you have to relight it. Using this inferior stuff, in all odds, it's going to go out. And what are we worried? The guy might be caught up, whatever it is. He might not come and light it. So therefore, that she says, لَكَتَعِلَا لَعَصُوتْ يَفَيْ دِلْمَا پَشَعْوَ لَوْ مِتَكِنَّا لَكَتَعِلَا, we want him to use the good stuff. وَمُوْتَعْ لِشْتَمَشْ لَهُرَى. And he also allows you to benefit from the light of the menorah. You're allowed to benefit from the menorah. Therefore, if you're allowed to benefit from the menorah, and you're going to use this inferior stuff, on Shabbat, what's going to end up happening? Since you're going to be reading or using it, you might come to flicker it, because you're allowed to use it. So therefore, he says, you're not allowed to use this inferior stuff on Hanukkah, not during the week, and not during Shabbat Hanukkah. The Rav Chasda amar, madikim ba'im b'chol, aval lo b'Shabbat. Rav Chasda makes a compromise. He said, you can use the inferior stuff of the weekday of Hanukkah, but not on the Shabbat of Hanukkah. What is he hold? Kasabar, kafta, and zakukla. He holds that once you light it, if it extinguished, you're not obligated to light it again. So therefore, even if you use the inferior stuff during the week, so it went out, you did the mitzvah once you lit it. However, he also holds mutal eshtamesh leorah. But he does hold you can benefit from the light of the menorah. Therefore, on Shabbat, if you can use the inferior stuff, you might come to flicker. Therefore, he says, on Shabbat, you have to use only the kasher stuff. You cannot use the pasul. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amila, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav. Petilot u'shmanim shalnu achim imadikim em Shabbat. The pasul, petilot, and shmanim for Shabbat, madlikim behem b'chanukah, behem b'chol, behem b'Shabbat. He says that you can use them on Hanukkah, the pasul stuff, whether it's during the week or even on Shabbat. What's his logic? What's the reason of Rav? Kasabar kafta en zakukla. First he holds what? That if it extinguished, you don't have to light it again. Therefore, during the week, we're not worried if it went out. So, because it's inferior stuff, so it went out. We're not worried. Because anyway, you're not obligated to relight. The mitzvah is just to light the menorah. Once it lit, it goes out, it's fine. And he holds also, asur l'shtamesh le'orah. And since it's forbidden to benefit from the light of the menorah, even if you use the pasul stuff, I'm not concerned that you might come to flicker it on Shabbat, because anyway, you're not allowed to use it. So because that, we have three opinions. We have Rav Huna, we have Rav Chasda, and Rav. You have the extreme opinion of Rav Huna that says, pasul ben be'ol ben be'Shabbat. You have Rav Chasda that makes a compromise that says, behol, it's kasher and Shabbat, pasul. And then you have Rav that says, it's kasher, the pasul stuff, then behol, then be Shabbat. The rabbis told in front of Abaye the opinion of Rav Yirmiyah, where Rav Yirmiyah explained the reason of Rav. He explained that Rav holds kafta in zakukla, and also as soon as tamesla. So Rav Yirmiyah's interpretation was said in front of Abaye. Below kibla. But for some reason, he didn't accept that interpretation. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came later on, amarua rabbanan kameh de abaye. So again, they said the interpretation over in front of Abaye mishemed Rabbi Yohanan. But this time they gave Rabbi Yohanan's interpretation of Rav, explaining kafta in zakukla asud eshtamesh leorah vekibla. And this time when he heard it in Rabbi Hanan's name, who he felt was, you know, a gadol, he said, you know what? Now I accept the logic. Amar, and then he said, Izakai, if I had the zechut, if I was zocheh, gamirte l'shemate me'ikara, I would have accepted this halakha originally when they told it to me in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. It seems when they explained the Rav in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah was hesitant to accept it. Later, when they told him, no, Rabbi Yohanan gives this interpretation of Rav, of Kafta and Zakukla, Asur Ishtamesh Leora, then he accepted it. So the Gemara says, if I had the Zichut, I would have accepted it earlier. The Gemara says, what's the difference? Ve'ha Gemara. Bottom line, he got it now, he accepted it now, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, no, Nafka Minali Grisadi Yankuta. There's a difference of what's called Grisadi Yankuta, which means the things that you learn when you're young. Things that you learn when you're young, you remember better. So he says, if I would have accepted it then already I would have had it etched in my memory from a youngster, and that would have stuck with me longer. Now that I didn't accept it then, I only accepted it now, so I lost that on those few, however long it was, that affects my memory. Because yeah, I concerned the rabbis well to learn, that the earlier they learned it, they held it was much better. Because the retention would be that much better. Now comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? The kafta and zakukla? Now let's analyze. You're telling me, Rav, that if it went out in zakukla, you're not obligated to relight the menorah? What do you mean? We have a contradiction. Mitzvata mishtishka hama. The mitzvah of lighting the menorah is when mitzishka hama. Look at how to learn mitzishka hama. Some learn meaning actually sunset. And Maran and Shohan Aruch learns actually Sitte Kochavim, when the stars come out. But the point is, it says, Mishet Shkachama, the mitzvah is to light it from Shekiah, Ad Shetechle Regel Menashuk. Until there are no more people walking in the marketplace. Until the feet are gone in the marketplace. My love, what does that sound like? Di Kafta Hadar Madikla. It sounds like that if it went out, you'd have to relight it. They're giving you the time. You have to light it from Shikiyah until Tichlid, they give it to those old people in the marketplace. That's Mashmah. If it went out in between, you must relight it. It's got to be lit that whole time. So that's a question on the opinion of Kafta and Zakukla. Gemara says, nah. Two answers. De'ilo adlik madlik. Either it means that if you didn't light yet, you still have that window of opportunity to light. That's the window from Shikiyah until Tichler Egel Min Hashuk, until there's no more people in the street. That's the window. Not that you have to light it the whole time it's got to be lit. It means that if you didn't light yet, and it's still in that window, you could light. V'ina mele shi'ura. Or it's coming to tell you, no, the shi'ur. How much oil do you have to put in the menorah? How long does it have to last for? So they're telling you, the shi'ur from which the Rishonim say, let's say, is a half hour. That's what the Rosh says. So therefore, it's not telling you that it has to last mamash lit for a half hour, but you have to put the shi'ur, the measure of oil, to last for that time. But even if it went out, kafta and zakukla. The Tosafot, the ilo adlik madlik, says, aval mikan va'ilach, which means, according to the first opinion, ilo adlik madlik means you only have the window of Shikiyah until Tekle Regel Min Hashuk. Let's say, for argument's sake, it's from 5 p.m. until 5:30. That's the window. Now let's say a person gets home at 5:35. According to the first answer to the Gemara, finished. You missed the window. The ilo adlik madlik, which you only have from that half hour, 5 to 5:30. So comes the Tosafot and says, Aval mikan va'ilach, avar hazman. Omer ari, pura. Of course you should light early according to this. If, let's say, you missed the window, because you have the second answer. According to the second answer, that just says, no, it's giving you, that's the amount of oil you have to put, is not bounding you by the time. That's not the time. So therefore you have the second answer to rely on. Then Tosfot says, in our day, where the main lighting is that we light inside the house, and we're not lighting for the people outside, so therefore, there's no question you can light later. Because the whole purpose is we want the people in the street, the people in the market should see the menorah pesumanes. But if anyway we're really lighting for the inside today, so therefore even like a tehila, you would be able to light later, because what's the difference? As long as the people in the house are able to see it, there's no inyan of the pesumanes of the street. Comes the Gemara and continues. Until the people are not walking in the marketplace.
Ve'ad kama. How long is that? Amar Abba Bar Hana, Amar Yohanan, Ad dechalyal reglad de termodai. Until the people called the termodai people are not in the market anymore. Who are the termodai people? That she says Shem Umma, it's the name of a people, Milakte Aitzim Dakim. And their business was they would collect wood. They would stay in the marketplace later than all the other merchants. Why? Because people would go home, they would now see how much wood they need for the coming night, then they'd go back out, and they'd go buy wood from these guys. So they would stay open the latest. And after people would come back and buy wood, then these Talmudai would go home. So the last people in the streets at night were usually the Talmudaim that were selling the wood. So they're giving the example that once these guys leave, go home, then already that's the shiur of the menorah. Tanur Rabbanan, we have a braita. Mitzvah Hanukkah, the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Ner ish ubeto is ner, is one ner, one candle, let's say, we'll call it a candle, one flame. Ish ubeto, for a person in his household. Meaning, no matter how many people he has in his house, let's assume he has 10 people in his house, husband, a wife, 8 children, 10 people, Gemara says all you need is one candle per night. Means all together the whole holiday, how many candles you're lighting? 8 candles, one per night. Ner, one ner, ishu beto, to cover the ishu beto. The mahaddirim, but the people that are more zealous when it comes to doing the mitzvot, they're more careful. Mahaddir. Oh, then every night you light one ner for everybody in the house. Which means on the first night, 10. Second night, 10. Every night, 10. So it's all together. You're lighting 80 nerot through the holiday. And what's the hidur? Why is it more hidur? You're lighting more candles. Instead of lighting one per family, you're lighting one for each. That's hidur. The highest level, people that want to do the mitzvot on the highest way, machloket. Bet Shemai Omri, Bet Shemai says, Yom Rishon Madlik Shemona. The first day you light 8, according to Bet Shemai, Mikan Ba'ilach Pohet Beholech, and you go down, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Bet Hillel Omri, and Bet Hillel say, Yom Rishon Madlik Achat. No, Bet Hillel says, you start on the first day lighting 1, Mikan Ba'ilach Mosif Beholech, and you progressively go up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, on this Madrin min Madrin, we have a famous machloket amongst the Rishonim. First, we have the Tosafot that's on our page. Tosafot says, Madrin min Madrin means that which we said on level 1, Nerishu Beto, where you light one per family each night, the Madrin min Madrin is going on that opinion. Which means, Madrin min Madrin means that you light one per person in the family, which means, I'm sorry, one per household, but according to Bet Hillel, subsequently go up every night, which means one, then you light the next night two, then the next night three, and the next night four. Why is that considered Madrim and Madrim? Because Tosfot says, you know which night it is. By looking at the candles, you're able to say, this is the third night of the miracle, this is the fourth night of the miracle. So that's the way he understands Madrin min Madrin. It's going back on Ner Ishu Beto, which means you have the Shitot now, according to Tosafot. First level, one per family per night. 8 candles the whole holiday. Second Madrin min Madrin, 10 per night. 10, 80. Oh, that's Sidur, because you're lighting a lot of candles. Madrin min Madrin is interesting. It's less candles than Madrin. You're not lighting 80 according to Madrin min Madrin. You're lighting 1, then the next night 2, then the next night 3 according to Bet Hillel, the next night 4, so it's less candles. So in that sense, it's less than the Madrin. However, what makes it Madrin min Madrin? Because it's recognizable which night it is. According to the second opinion of Madrin, it's 10. What night it is? I don't know what night it is. Now, the 10th night of Hanukkah, there's no 10 nights of Hanukkah. There's no way to tell. So that's the way Tosfot understands. Harambam has a different understanding of this Gemara. He says, no. The Madirim and the Madirim is going back on the Shitav Madirim. Where we said, 10. Madirim says, the first night, 10. The second night, 20. the second night 30, third night 30, 40, 50, till the last night you'll have 80 nerot, which means he learns that you progressively go up for each person in the house. That's the hidud of the Rambam, meaning you're lighting a lot of candles. It's a great mahlokit between Harambam and the Tosafot. The Sephardim in this case follow the Tosafot. And the Ashkenazim, no, it's not thank God, the Sephardim follow the Tosafot, which is strange in Halakha, and the Ashkenazim follow the opinion of Harambam. Therefore, they light many. But the Ashkenazim also make a compromise. The Harambam just said you light all the candles together. Well, you're not even able to tell which night it is. But the Ashkenazim, they light it in different places. So each person lights in the family, but let's say you have 10 people, so on the last night, one will light 8 candles here, one will light 8 candles there, somebody lights 8 candles. So you're able to tell which night it is, and you're also lighting many candles. But according to the Sephardim, they light one menorah for the entire family. In any event, the Gemara says, what's the logic of these rabbis? Gemara says, Amar Ula. Pedigi ba tre amorae. There's a machloket amongst two amoraim. Bema'araba in the west, Rabbi Yosef bar Abin, Rabbi Yosef bar Zvida. Had Amar, one said, Ta'amad de Bet Shammai, the reason of Bet Shammai, it says you go down. You start 8, 7, 6, 5, you go, start from 8 and go down. Keneged yamim nechnasim. He understands that you go according to the days that are left. Which means, on the first night of Hanukkah, you have 8 days left. And then the second, you have 7 days left. That's yamim nechnasim. The days that are left. Betelel is no. You go according to the days that passed. Which means on the first day of Hanukkah, one day passed. 2 days passed. 3 days passed. That's the machloket of Nechnasim or Yotzim. I want to explain now. The reason of Betshemai Keneged Parei Achag is according to the Parim, the bulls that they used to bring on Sukkot. On Sukkot it says they would bring Korbanot every day. So it says, on the first day they would bring 13 korbanot. On the second day, 12. And then 11. So we see a precedence in the Torah that they went down. So he says, the Hanukkah follows the precedence of the Torah that goes down. He follows another Torah precedence that says, when it comes to things of Kiddusha, you go up. You don't go down. Therefore you start off with one ner, then you go with two ner, and you progress. So we have two reasons for Bet Shammai, and two reasons of Betelel. Let's review. The two reasons of Bet Shammai are either Keneged Pareh HaChag or Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim. The two reasons of Betelel would be Keneged Ma'alim BaKodesh VeMoridim or Keneged Yamim HaYotzim. Those are the two reasons. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba Bar Hana, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Shnei Zekinim Hayu BeSidon. There were two elders living in the place called Sidon. Ehad Asak Bet Shammai. One did like Bet Shammai, meaning on the first night he lit 8. And one followed Betel, meaning on the first night he lit one. One rabbi that followed Bet Shammai gave his reasoning of Parei Achag, meaning I follow the Parei Achag that goes down. And the rabbi that followed Betel gave his logic of Ma'alim Bakodesh Ve'en Moridin. The Ritba asks, what's the purpose to tell me this story over here? So he says, a tremendous chidush. He says, first of all, how could somebody follow Bet Shammai? I thought Halakha is like Bet Hillel. And probably these rabbis were after that fact that the Halakha became like Bet Hillel. How could one rabbi follow Bet Shammai? So the Ritva says a fantastic chidush that this is not a regular machloket between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Because they all agree in the Halakha over here. Both Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel agree the minimum amount you have to light is Nedi Shubeto. One per family per night. What is their argument in the realm of Mehaderin min Mehaderin? So the Hadush of the Gemara is when the Mahloker of Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel is in the Mehaderin min Mehaderin, if you want to follow Bet Shammai, you can. Because they're not arguing in the strict halakha. Actually, the Hafetz Chaim in his Perush on Biur Halakha in Ilchot Hanukkah, he writes this Hadush on his own. But then he writes at the end, I didn't see this written anywhere, so I'm just giving you food for thought. But Chas v'Shalom, don't take it halakha. When the Hafetz Chaim wrote it, he did not have the print of the Ritba that we have today. So he was really mechaven to one of the opinions of the Rishonim that clearly says that is the Hidush of this piece, that when it comes to a machloket of Hidur, you can actually take the opinion of Bet Shammai. Tanu Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lanichal petach beto mibachutz. The mitzvah is to place it on petach beto, on the front door of his house, mibachutz, from the outside. What does this mean? Rashi, mibachutz mishum persumei nisa, to publicize the miracle. Ve'lo b'rishut rabim, doesn't mean you're going to stick the menorah in the public domain. Ela b'chatzero shebaten ayu petuchim lechatzer, which means in the olden days they used to have their homes. It was open up to a courtyard. So Rashi says you place the menorah by your door that's open to the chatzer, that's open to the courtyard. If you want to look in your Pirush Chayes, you see that picture on 224 where you see a house. You have a menorah on the left side, across from the mezuzah, right by the door, and it's right in front of the chaser. That's the way that she understands petach beto mibachutz. However, that is not the way Tosfot understands. Tosfot understands it as picture 225, that it's talking about a house that does not have a chaser in front of it, and therefore you're placing your menorah right in the reshut harabim. Your house is right flush to the reshut harabim. And therefore you're placing the menorah right by your door. But Tosfot holds, if you have a chaser, then you look at 226. You place the menorah not by your doorpost, but you place it by the door of the chaser in the front. So it comes out we have a major machlok between Rashi and Tosfot. When you have a chaser, Rashi says you still put it by your personal door. Tosfot says no. When you have a chaser, you put it in front of the door of the chaser. What's this case about Gemara? Tosfot learns that there's no chaser. That's why you put it by beto. You put it by your house, which is just flush with the reshut harabim. The court that she know, even you have a chaser, and still you put it by your door. That's the machloket. Comes the Gemara and says, Ner Hanukkah mitzvah lanichal petach beto mibachutz. Imayad dar ba'aliyah. But if you lived on the second floor, let's say, you live upstairs, which means you don't have any door, maniha b'chalon esimucha l'reshut rabim, then you place it in the window that's facing the public domain. U'bishat ha'sakana, but in the times of danger, there were times of danger where the Goyim did not allow the Jewish people to have any lights in their homes, and if they did see them have lights outside, in front of their doorposts, in front of the chaser, it would have been dangerous for them. Sakana. So what did they do? That she says, Sakana, Shayalem the Parsim Chok b'yom Edam, on the holiday of the Parsim, there was a law, Shelo yibaru nir, ela bebet avodah zara. You can only have light in the avodah zara, in the church. So therefore, in Sakana, what is the deen? Maniha al shulchano v'dayo. It's enough to place the menorah on your table. Jeez, not by the doorpost, not by the chaser, not by the window, just stick it by the table inside. Amar Rava, but Rava says, if you're sticking it inside, now it might not be recognizable that you're lighting it for Hanukkah. Which is when you're lighting it outside, it's obvious what you're lighting it for. You're not, you're doing it for the mitzvah. But when you're lighting it inside, it might look like you're doing it for personal. So therefore, what does Rava say to fix that? Sarich ner acheret, you need another ner. Which is you have to put an extra candle there so people will know that, let's say, the extra candle, that's for his personal use, and the other candles that he has is what? That is for the menorah. So again, this is where we get the law of the shamosh, of lighting the extra candle of the Ner Hanukkah. It all started for the people that were lighting inside. When you were lighting outside, there was no reason to have a shamosh, because it was obvious it was for the mitzvah. But when they start to light inside, people will get confused if it's personal or not. So you need an extra ner for hekir, as Rashi says, for a recognizable that what? That the other candles are for the mitzvah. Nishtamesh le'orah. Like it says, in order to use that for its light. V'ika medurah. However, if a person, let's say, has a fireplace in his house, lo tzarich. Because he has light already. Since he has light coming from a different place, obviously these candles that he's putting on his kitchen table are for the mitzvah. Vi adam hashuvu. And if he's an important guy, hafagav di'ika medorah, sarich ner acheret. Because we learned, even if he has a medorah, adam hashuv doesn't use the light of a medorah. It's not hashuv for him to sit by the light of the fire. So therefore, he still needs another ner in order to make the menorah recognizable that it is for the mitzvah of Hanukkah. That she says, V'i ika medura ish. If you have a fire in the house, lo tzarik ner acheret. Lefi shemishtamesh ta'or medorah, because he could use the light of the medorah. V'yesh hekera. Now it's obvious that the ner that he's using is for the mitzvah. The adam chashuvu she'enu ragil l'shtemesh l'or medorah, where he doesn't use the light of the medorah. Sarich nena chayered the ilav lo avi heker. So according to Rashi, the main point of the shamosh, the extra candle, is a heker. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.